got permission from my wife to share with you the good news.
All of it worked.
All of it. So are you excited now?
No.
You guys act like it's been 20 below zero for the last month. So are you excited yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so we get this phone call on Friday that someone died. Boy, is that good news? But anyway, I don't know the person, so that's the good news. The good news is that he's a father of a friend of my son-in-law's, and so they called me up and said that they're coming to Fort Wayne this week. So we get our Guaminian granddaughter all week. So we're excited about that. The only problem is we have to go to Detroit Airport tomorrow at midnight. What is it, 3 hours up there? Next week, I'm going to see 200,000 of you until my eyes will be doing this. Okay, the next good news, and I got permission from my wife to give this good news too. So, are you excited about it? Okay, we have a new baby in the church. Danny Stokes had her baby on yesterday, Saturday, and named Maverick, whatever middle name, Stokes. So that's where the Stoses are this morning, and so they are, they need to be here for this sermon because it's about manhood, and all they're having are boys. And so anyway, so that's the good news I want to share with y'all this morning. It's always nice to be able to share about babies and exciting things like that happening in church. Okay. I have been having a lot of fun this week because when I get around males and females, I've asked them one question this week. And the question was, what are your favorite movies? Now, I made this comment in the first service, which is in the sanctuary, which all of you know. And Pastor Van Horn came up to me afterwards and says, you need to understand that many of the people in this service came from a different generation and that they were not allowed to see movies. And I understood, once he started saying that, okay, I understand it, because Polly, you weren't allowed to see too many movies. They had to be rated G, right? That's about right. And so she grew up in that generation. Her sisters were all upset at her because Polly was the first girl in her family that was allowed to wear slacks while she was riding a bicycle. How many of you remember that type of stuff? So that's what she grew up with. So anyway, I want to go back to this. So here are the top 10 movies for men and women. Okay? I'm going to start with the women first. We're going to go to number 10. Sense and Sensibility is number 10. Okay? Dirty Dancing is number 9. Shakespeare in Love is number 8. Sleepless in Seattle is number 7. Titanic, number 6. How did that movie end anyway? Okay. A Walk to Remember. I cried in that movie. Well, it was right when my daughters were getting married, and she's getting married, and she's a preacher's kid. Okay. And I don't cry too often. All right. Love Story. I don't know that one. Gone with the Wind. Pride and Prejudice. What's number 1 for women?
Notebook.
The Notebook. You are right on that.
That's like your favorite movie, isn't it?
Okay.
For men. For men, let me see. Number 10 is Rocky. Didn't say which one. Rocky 1 or Rocky 52. The Godfather. Never seen that movie.
Number 3.
Braveheart. Yeah, that's Mel Gibson. What's that line in there where he's screaming or something like that? I don't remember. Fight Club. Never seen that. Gladiator. Goodfellas. Shawshank Redemption. Did I say it right this time? Okay, Shawshank Redemption. Die Hard. Same thing like Rocky. You know, 200. Forrest Gump. And what's number 1 for men?
Tombstone.
Tombstone?
I know. What?
So I don't know who said it, but you're right. You just have to glow. When you got the spotlight, I mean, it's Saving Private Ryan. Now, if you notice that there's a difference between those two. One of them is you got women that are in love, and the guy loves them, and is going to do whatever it takes to woo her into love, and it usually takes a long time for them to fall in love and everything else. And then the man one is usually kind of a superhero or hero-ish type. A lot of action. But especially like Saving Private Ryan, it does has a lot to do with honor. Okay? Starting World War II and everything else. Now, if I were to give you mine, mine would be Mr. Deeds. And I put Waterboy on the same level as that. Major Payne. Anybody remember that movie? Yeah, Major Payne. The Amazing Grace story. Do you know what that one is? About Wilberforce and getting rid of slavery and how it took forever and ever for them. It's a drama. I don't like dramas. But what I usually watch that movie when I'm frustrated, because it's just like, it reminds me that sometimes things just take a long time to get accomplished. From what I understand, slavery was outlawed by England on the day of his death, if I'm right on this one. A new one has just come in to play, Hacksaw Ridge. Okay? And that's about a Christian who was persecuted during World War II because he didn't want to carry a gun, and he just wanted to be a medic. And he's the first medic that ever won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he saved like 72 Americans and Japanese on that island that he was at in one night. It was just him. And he threw him down the ridge, and didn't throw him, but he threw him down the ridge and saved him. Okay, Longest Day and Midway. Okay, I like Midway because it puts me to sleep. Okay. And so what I do is I put it on when I'm trying to sleep, and I usually fall asleep. Now, last night didn't work. I had too much Pepsi in my system from that the Comets game. I came home last night going, it's midnight, you know? All right, 3 in the morning, I'm still awake. Finally fall asleep, then the alarm goes off. Okay. All right, so as I said, there's differences, and we can even see the differences in male and female. And as our love and respect class said not too long ago, not wrong, just different. Okay? Not wrong, just different. If anyone says that men and women are exactly the same, they're wrong. Because we are not. You can even see that in the movies. And you can even see that in Scripture, too, because as you look at Scripture, when God talks to, or Paul talks to, or whoever talks to men, and says, this is how you are to act in the family, it is actually different than what they say to women. And I think we as men, I really feel in the last 20 years, we've really gotten a bad rap in society because they said that men, you're wrong. Everything you do is wrong. No, it's not wrong. We're just different. I was listening to Louisville Radio this past week, and they were talking about the top 5 occupations that kids want to go into. And the neat part is that some of them are changing, and I like that they're changing, because it used to be the number one occupation that a kid wanted to go into was being an athlete. Now it's down to number 8. The number one, there is one occupation, there's two occupations I want to talk about. One occupation that 87% of boys said they wanted to do it. And another occupation that's kind of surprising, 82% of girls said they wanted to do it. Okay? So, for the boys, 87%, or of those who said that's what they want to do, 87% wanted to be a fireman. Why? Hero. Rush into that house, drag out the hamster. That's all I ever, the only life I ever saved when I was a fireman, fireman, whatever you want to call them nowadays, to be flipped for the hamster. And that was it. Girls, anybody know what it is? What? Close. Doctor. And that's what surprised me. because it went from nurse now to doctor. And I just thought that was interesting, because when I was in a teenager, it was kind of the opposite. I mean, the boys wanted to be the doctor, and the girls wanted to be the nurses, and the girls were just starting getting into that occupation. So I find it very, very interesting. But if you look at that, what is a doctor? But one who helps, right? Most social workers are female. Not all, most of them, because you're in that type of field. Not wrong, just different. So what I want to do today is I want to look at two passages of Scripture, and then when we get through the sermon, I'm going to conclude with another Scripture. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and we're eventually going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. So these are two passages, and today, by the way, I'm just talking to the men. Now, women, I want you to listen, but I'm talking primarily to the men today. Okay, next week, women, it's your turn. All right. So, men, when your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse—I said that wrong. Men, when your girlfriend is hitting you in the side, just remember next week you can hit her in the side. Okay. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. This is the first linchpin. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What Paul is saying is the first and foremost primary role of a man in a married relationship is to love his wife. And I know you're saying, well, duh, no. You have to understand, okay? It is a deeper love than what you're thinking. Because there's three types of love that are found in Scriptures. You have eros, phileo, and agape. Now the problem with the English language is you can literally talk about love and you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? I got in trouble yesterday. Polly went upstairs and she left a fudge-covered Twinkie on the table. And I thought she wasn't going to eat it. And it was the last one we had. And she came downstairs, and she was going over there to get that fudge-covered Twinkie, and she looked at me and goes, what happened to my Twinkie? And I go, what Twinkie? You know? Okay, so I can sit here and say, I love fudge-covered Twinkies, right? Right? And I love fudge-covered Twinkies as much as I love my wife, right? But I used the word love, didn't I? Doesn't it mean the same? No. There's different types. And so, eros, phileo, and agape. Eros, that's where you get the word erotic. It actually means lust or a sexual type of love. It's actually the most shallow love that actually is there. When somebody says, just say you're in a car with a guy, and he goes, I love you. And you go, I don't know where the spot is around here. But I love you. He's really saying, I lust after you. Well, doesn't that change things? What if the guy goes, hi, I lust after you? You know that's going to destroy everything. You know, so that you say, I love. Of course, the girl goes, oh. But eros is actually a shallow type of love. And I think, remember last week I gave you all the statistics when it comes to premarital sex and everything else that's involved there. I really think that's why. Because you start in that level. Instead of learning how to phileo and agape each other, you start on this level with your sexuality. And then what happens is the excitement isn't there what it used to be and everything else. And then you start looking for it somewhere else. So it is actually, I think, the most shallow. So when you say I lust after you or I eros after you, what you're essentially saying is like, your flesh is pleasing to my eye is exactly what it means. Philandel, where you get Philadelphia from, with the city of brotherly love, is actually the friendship type of love. And what the friendship type of love says is this. You are my friend, and we are going to maintain and continue to be our friend, my friend, as long as you meet my needs and I meet your needs. Now, I really believe that's where a lot of our marriages get stuck in. It's the friendship type. Now, when Polly and I first got married, I'll be honest with you, I loved her differently than I do now. It was a friendship type of love. We liked to be around each other. It took us a long time to get to this third level of agape. Because agape love essentially says, is I'm committed to you regardless. You know, if we get an auto accident and you get burnt beyond recognition, you still live and your whole body is covered with sores or with scar tissue and everything else, I am still going to love you and I'm still going to be with you. That's what it talks about. But as I said, many of us get stuck on the phileo. And we say, okay, you are my friend. And we say this all the time, my best friend is, and we usually say, my best friend is my spouse. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but we have to understand that we need to go deeper than that in our love. Because there will be times that she or he will not be able to provide what you need. As strange as this sounds, if I could go back to one time in our marriage, and I know Polly already knows this, but it's going to sound really strange, is when Polly had her brain surgery. Do you know why? For those 3 months, when she was in a wheelchair and on a walker, pain, and then my arm. Who is taking care of her? I would sleep, you know, she'd be sleeping in a recliner. I'd be sleeping right next to her on the floor. No one could come in the house unless I allowed her. She could do absolutely nothing for me for almost 3 months. But I never felt more like a husband and more like a man than at that time. Ladies, I don't know how else to describe it, except that's when the agape really kicked in. And I really believe that that's what women want. Because if you look at these movies, and even some of these Disney movies that are out there, what is it? It is Prince Charming comes, and he doesn't care if I've been sleeping for the last 10 years, and the little dwarves around me and everything. I mean, he doesn't care, but he comes and finds me. So what Paul is saying is, husbands, you must agape your wives. You must be committed to her, and you must act like Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus came to this earth, he left the throne of heaven, came to this earth, knew what our needs were, and met those needs, our spiritual needs, came and met those needs. And we did absolutely nothing for him except beat him to a pulp and put him on a cross. But yet the Bible says he still loves me. And men, when the Bible says that you are to be the head of the home and to be the leader of the home, that's what it's talking about. You are to lead Jesus Christ in that home. It's not the dictatorship that we normally think of. It is, you know, the Bible states that, you know, God is the head and Jesus is the head of the church and the husband is the head of the home. And, you know, and we go over it. And but what it's saying is, men, you lead in Jesus Christ. You show the whole house who Jesus is. You submit to Christ. And because of that, what you're going to do is you're going to make your wife a better person. You understand? The second role of a man is to be the leader of the home. And this is where we're getting into that. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And And I want to bring this up because this is fascinating. It says, verse by verse, in the same way, he says, men, follow the example of Jesus. In the same way, you are to follow the example of Jesus. So, Jesus knew what our needs were, so he came and he met those needs. Men, know what the needs of your wife is and meet those needs. It's not about you. Phileo, it's about me. Agape, it's about her. Just as Jesus left his throne of heaven and died on the cross, men, we need to leave our thrones and know what the needs of our wives are and meet those needs. And I'm talking about goodwill people here. Whenever I preach a sermon, I always hear the words, yeah, buts. I'm not talking about the yeah, buts. I'm talking about the majority. Be considerate as you live with your wife. Do you understand her? Learn to read her movements. Understand what makes her tick. Do you know what her favorite movie is? I didn't know until I asked Bob. Do you know what her favorite restaurant is? Do you know what her favorite food is? I would say that there's some husbands that don't. On her birthday, are you going to take her to Texas Roadhouse or are you going to take her to Panera Bread? I agree with you when it says Panera Bread. That's a big joke in our family. Okay, Paula, where did we go yesterday? 2 days ago, we were somewhere and you saw Panera Bread. We didn't stop. I'll get you a bagel someday. Okay, but you need to, what makes her tick? What makes her happy? I mean, I know what makes her happy. And it has to be with any kid here that's still in a diaper. That's what makes her tick. I mean, when she got that phone call from my daughter, she's excited. She's already, we already have the gates for the staircase already. They're not even coming till tomorrow. She cleaned up the whole house yesterday. Because that's what makes her happy. That's what makes her tick. So, do you understand her? And then it comes up and says, you are to respect her. Meaning you are to honor her. Meaning you are to place her on a pedestal. Meaning that you treat her better than your own friends. And I think that's a mistake that we make. Sometimes we treat our friends better than our own spouses. And so, encourage her, protect her, honor her, love her with your words. And I know this is hard for us men. But if you go to the Song of Solomon, what is the Song of Solomon? It's nothing but wooing. It's a man that's wooing this woman, the Shumanite woman, with his words. And read it. It's hot stuff. Of course, all your teeth are much better than a goat, but it's still, it's hot stuff. Okay. You're to treat her as a weaker partner. Now, notice what it says, as a weaker partner. And it doesn't say that she is a weaker partner. Now, we do know women are weaker in some areas, in general. We know that. I mean, men are physically stronger. That's why you have male and female sports and everything else, and you separate. But I'm going to tell you, I would never want to have a baby. And I never would want to get up at, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So, it says, in some ways, as a weaker partner. I like the word as. It means, to me, it's come across as you treat her as if she is a weaker partner. What you describe it as, how many of you ever watched the Antique Roadshow on PBS? And you watch these people come in, I found this bowl. And we used to sit in the bowl and spin. I just remember this one. And we used to spin it as little kids. And the guy's going, you did what? You know, this bowl is from the Ming Dynasty, and then the fingers of so-and-so is on it, and it's worth $250,000. And do you think that they're going to be spinning in that bowl now? That thing has now become precious and fragile. Even though it may not be fragile, but they're going to treat it as if it is fragile, and they're going to take it home, and they're going to put it on a place of honor. Men, that's what you do with your wife. You treat her with honor. You put her in a place of honor. And when your children come up and they dishonor their mother, you give them the look. You know what the look is? Kids still talk about the look. Dad, we just didn't want that look. Really. So you protect her, you honor her, and you love her with your words as a weaker partner so that your prayers will not be hindered. It's very interesting what it says here. And I got on so many commentaries trying to figure out exactly what they meant by this. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. There's, depending on what commentary you read, they came up with it or an idea. So I'm going to give it to you a couple of them. One is, the prayer of salvation for an unsaved wife will not be hindered. So if you are treating your wife who is not saved horribly, do you think she's going to want to become saved? No. The next one is unkindness and bitterness kills prayers. So where two or three come together and you pray, you become fairly strong. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes where three strands are not evenly broken. So you come together and pray. Well, if you're fighting, you're treating her with dishonor, how can you come together and pray? And you also have, I think, the spiritual aspect as well is if you are forgiving, God talks about in the Gospels over and over again. He talks about if you don't treat someone else like I treated you, then good are you? The Bible says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven because I forgave you first. Okay. Now, John Piper makes a comment. He says, the heart of a mature masculinity is a sense of benevolent responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect women in ways appropriate to a man's differing relationships. Okay. I just like that. All right, now, I want to talk real quickly here about another concept when it comes to manhood. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 8. Now, this is going to sound really weird, but there's a lot of truth in this passage. And this is what I want to bring out. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 8. We have a little sister. She has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day that she is spoken for? If she is a wall, we will build on her an embattlement of silver. If she is a door, we will barricade her with planks of cedar. So we have a girl that has not gone through puberty. And essentially they're saying, we will protect her. Fathers, the Bible says you're leaving home, but you're also protect that home. You have the right and the responsibility to make sure that anything comes in this home is appropriate. We've abdicated our responsibility in that area. If there's one, I have a few things in my household I wish I would have put my foot down. When it came into our household, I wish I would put my foot down, but I didn't. You have the right and the responsibility to say no. And if any guy is coming into your house and is with your daughter or a girl, with your son, you have the right and the responsibility to know what's going on. No, I don't. This is what we did to help not only to protect them, but to teach your children. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in a way that they live, not as to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge younger women to love their husbands and children and to be self-controlled and pure and to be busy at home and be kind and subject to their husbands and no one will malign the word of God. Okay, what it's saying here is older women teach younger women. And I believe that older men teach younger men. Men, I'm talking on this one. If you've got kids at home, teach them how to be a man. Teach them what it means to be a man. If you have girls, you teach them what to expect in a man. When my girls were growing up, I would take each of them on a date. And I'd put a suit on, and a tie on. We took them to the car, opened up the car door, I put them in. And we took them to the restaurant, held out the chair, and let them sit. They ordered off the menu. We got done eating, and I said, "We're not done eating." They go, "What do you mean?" I said, "You can get dessert." "I can? You can get dessert." "Okay." But what I did is I used that as an opportunity to teach them what to look for in a man. And I recommend women do that too. I recommend that you do that for your boys. I recommend that when they get to teenagers, that you just go up to them and say, "When are you going to ask me on a date?" "Huh? You got to ask me on a date. Let's go. And you need to treat me like a woman." So you stand there at the door and see if he'll open the door for you. I'm trying to figure out how you can stand at the driveway and honk the horn, but that's a different story. But and then you go to the restaurant, stand there until you hold the door, or puts the chair out, and he pays the check too. Even if he is But what I'm saying is teach them. Now, okay, so now, let's go to the reality. We know that we have single parents here. I understand that. Okay? Your grandparents or your parents can do that for them. "Well, my parents were all dead." Okay, find someone else that can do that for them. Now, if you're saying, "Hey, Pastor, can you take my daughters out on a date?" That'll be weird. But I guarantee what I'm going to do is I'm going to go up to Polly and I'm going to say, "Polly, we're going to take so-and-so on a date. You're going to become chaperone." Okay? But, and find somebody that is willing to do that and to teach them. We don't teach them how to be men anymore. We don't teach them how to treat women. There are classes in school where we teach them how to eros. We don't teach them how to die. So I gave you some suggestions today. I get a good idea to think about. Can I do this with my kid? Any boy comes to my house and I have my shotgun. I hate it. The girls hated it. Then they learned to love it. And they soon realized that if any boy wasn't willing to meet my dad, they weren't worth my time. Husbands, love your wife. Follow the example of Christ. Well, Lord, we thank you once again for you are God, and good stuff today. It's stuff that we need to realize that you put husband and wife in the home for the next generation. Let us take it seriously. Help us, O Lord, to love our wives. Not just to Eros, that's important, but not just to Eros, not just to Phileo, that's important, but to Agape. Let us be committed to them until death does us part. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people.